Now let us turn to the Word of God in the book of Judges. After Joshua is Judges. Chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. Verse 1. Judges 4 verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, the reign in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If you go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went with him. Verse 13. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles, unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots, and all his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, Turn in now, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink. I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Amen. It's a good story, isn't it? Good for you, mothers and fathers, to tell your children at bedtime or any time, every time. Tell it with confidence. Tell it with conviction. Tell it with joy that we have a wonderful God who saves. You know, this chapter 4 of Judges, you may call it a dark page of Jewish history. The time when the tribes had no leader, disunited, and they were ruled by judges raised of God. A sad period when it is written that each man did what seemed right in his own eyes. How sad it is. There is no authority, no rule. You do what you think is best. In the promised land, you see, the people of promise were not receiving the blessing which was promised simply because they were a rebellious people. They had forgotten and forsaken the God who brought them out of Egypt, and they had fallen into idolatry, into lawlessness, into corruption, and therefore had excluded themselves from the blessing and protection of God. How it must have grieved the Lord, don't you think? And this can apply to any of us here today. Oftentimes it is the children. Parents are God-fearing. Children become well-educated, cultured, and leave the fold of God. When God's people came under the oppression of heathen tribes, it is a very sad picture. Can you imagine it? They were in the land, but they were serving the foreigners, the heathen, there in the land, and they were under their oppression, a disgrace to the name of God. We have a God who does not give up easily. Because these were His covenant people. Those whom He had saved with a mighty hand out of Egypt. God remembered the covenant. So that when the children cried to Him, in verse 3, please see, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. We have a God of great compassion. We may have strayed and rebelled against His holy law, but when we turn back and cry to Him, God has mercy and pity. Verse 3, see again. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Why were they crying? They looked around and they saw the desperate situation. The enemy was a great and vast multitude of soldiers, and they had 900 chariots of iron. In modern language, you can say they had 900 tanks. And what do you have? Nothing. Only a sword in hand and weak and disunited people. But Israel cried, and God was merciful. In their distress, God heard their prayer and their cry, and He raised a woman. Very unusual, don't you think so? And yet we have a God who does unusual things. Our thoughts are not His thoughts, neither are our ways His ways. Under those circumstances, there was one woman called Deborah. Deborah means a bee. And she was true to her name, busy as a bee and very powerful as a bee, able to sting with her words. God raised her to be a prophetess. What is a prophetess? One who is godly, in touch with God, able to receive the word of God, and God could trust in this person and commit to her the affairs of His people. God does not deal with all the people of Israel individually. True? Yes. God goes through a go-between. Prophet, if there is, in this case, none available, a prophetess, Deborah, stands there between the people and God. And there she was to receive instruction from the Lord, to determine the truth of the matter, and to declare the mind of God. Thank God for such a person, that she had the filling of the Holy Spirit in her, that she could understand, she could perceive and see the situation, what ought to be done. When she saw this situation where God's people were oppressed by heathen people, she rose to the occasion, even as we ought to, when you see the situation requires a remedy and God can use you. I say, God raise up some who can be Deborahs among us, in your family, so that you see the situation requires it, I will stand up for the Lord. The people were demoralized, crushed under the iron heel of the Canaanites. Spirits were broken, without hope, without help. What can you do? Deborah stood up and rallied the people. Verse 4. Deborah, prophetess, wife of Lapidoth. I wonder what Lapidoth did. Nothing said about him. He must be at home, minding the children. Here's a wife. And she came out under a palm tree, and she judged the people. Verse 6. She sent and called Barak, son of Abinom, out of Kadesh Naphtali. And he said, now please understand, what we are reading now is what the Lord, by inspiration, communicated with her to say. Listen, he says, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor. Take with thee 10,000 men from two tribes. There are 12 tribes, but these are the two chosen for that particular mission, Naphtali and Zebulun. And the Lord says in verse 7, you see, this is a promise. We have a wonderful God of promise. And every promise of our God is faithful, yea and amen. You know that. If he has promised in his word to do a thing, he will surely do it. Here the demoralized people heard the voice of a woman saying, God says, verse 7, I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the general. He and all his men will come. Why? Because God draws them. Where? To the valley, to the lowland, to the river Kishon. With his army and his chariots and his multitudes. And there I will deliver him into thine hand. Oh, my friends, in the darkest hour we see the brightest promise. God says, I will do it. You follow me. You take the instruction. Call your two tribes. Rally together. 10,000 will do. The enemy may be 100,000. We are not told exactly, but commentators think they could have been 100,000. Doesn't matter. For God is with you. And God is the God of the impossible. Supposing Barak would say, well, what can 10,000 do? And they got 900 tanks. And they have 100,000 people. I think we better mobilize the rest. Call the other 12, the 10 other tribes. And let us go at least, get at least 100 against that 100,000. No, dear friends. One with God, you win the battle. Do you know that? Remember David. Goliath, with all the armies of the Philistines, Goliath. David, shepherd boy, one stone, brought the champion down. Why? God was with him. If you have God with you, nothing else matters. If you do not have God with you, you can have all the resources, all the armies and tanks, you lose. God with you is the victory. Verse 8. Barak said to her, if you go, I will go. If you won't go, I will not go. What a man, what a man. Oh, dear friends, and yet you say, God used him. I would say he could be called the chief of cowards. Chief of cowards. If you were to vote, who is the greatest coward on earth? I say, Barak. And yet God used this coward to go, say, if I have this woman with me, I will go, I will fight. If she won't come, I cannot fight. Oh, what a Barak. So he went. Against that vast army with the men of war, you know, there's a psalm called Psalm 20. Psalm 20, the psalmist says, but the Lord, in all your undertakings, never forget the Lord, whether it is studies, whether it is business, whether it is some great encounter with somebody. David says in Psalm 20, but the Lord. Can you say that? When you are dismayed and discouraged and demoralized, pull yourself together, go on your knees, cry to the Lord, and then face the enemy and say, but the Lord is with me. He will hear from the heavens with the saving strength of his right hand. Whenever I read the Bible, I say, thank God we have the right hand. Most of us are right-handed, right? Right hand. The right hand is the hand that God gives the natural power to. And therefore, in natural, normal parlance, you say the right hand of God means the hand of his power. What does it say here? The Lord will hear from heaven with the saving strength of his right hand of power. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. Psalm 20, verse 6 and 7. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God, for the battle is the Lord's. When you go into a great campaign, something very tough
As an assignment, if it is for the Lord, for example, into an unknown area, into the wild country, to set up a mission field, to preach the gospel, and you hear there are very savage people, tribes of heathens, and fearful people. But if God sends you, you say, the battle is the Lord's. The Lord with me, what need I fear? So, let's see the outcome of this great battle. Verse 8, verse 9 now. Verse 9, and Deborah said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. What a wonderful illumination, isn't it so? That Deborah was told by God, today is the battle, and the battle will go your way. I will bring the armies of the enemy to naught, nothing. I'll demolish them for you. And the general, the great Sisera, I will deliver him into the hand of a woman, Jael. All that Deborah needed to do was to convey the message, right? Tell Barak. Barak, God tells you today, there will be a great victory, but the glory will not be to you. It will be to a woman who will kill the general you're going to fight against. Verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. My dear friends, never forget the forgotten factor. What do you mean? So many of us forget God. Especially when we are prosperous, we forget God. So God becomes the forgotten factor. We have our plans, our projects, we have our advisors, counselors, our consultants, everybody come and we will plan. But forget God, the forgotten factor. What are you planning? What project do you have in hand? What great problem do you have in hand? Seek not the consultants and the counselors. Seek God first. Don't forget the forgotten factor, for he is the decisive factor. You see, in that day, the Lord of hosts came to their aid, for the Lord of hosts, he is the Lord strong and mighty, mighty in battle. You ask me now, in that story, it seems rather romantic, isn't it? You go to battle and everything's all right. What happened? And the enemy just got demolished. What happened? We will know what happened when you read into the next chapter that God gave to Deborah a victory song. Not only was she a wife, prophetess, and lady general, she was also a poetess. She composed a song and she sang to the glory of God. Let's look at chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord, I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. This is a victory song. Isn't that great? A victory song. Verse 4. Lord, when you went out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, now listen, the earth trembled. What happened? I can read into this that there was an earthquake. Earth trembled. And the heavens dropped and clouds dropped water. I would say it was like a Sumatra. a great downpour of rain. No, dear friends, you know this. Tanks do well on flat and level and hard ground, right? Tanks. Those of you in NS, those in the army will know that. Tanks don't like to go up the mountain. They like the plain and the level, good ground. But on that day, there was earthquake. And then the waters came down and turned the plain into a quagmire, a big swamp, a swamp of mud and mire. Verse 5, the mountains melted before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Now, on to verse 20. They fought from heaven, the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Interpretation. How do you interpret? Did the stars actually come down? Commentators say that expression of stars came down was a great hailstorm, hail. If hailstones, each one the size of a cricket ball, will fall down. And by the millions, woe unto those who are caught in that hailstorm. Have you ever been caught in the hailstorm? I have, but each one is the size of a small peanut. Quite painful when it comes down. But when it's the size of a golf ball, you'll be hit. You can go unconscious. And if it is the size of a cricket ball, then you've had it. One hit, you finish. Verse 20. They fought from heaven. Who fought from heaven? The host of heaven. God sent the angels to help to fight the battle for his people. And the stars in their courses fought against Sisera by dropping great big cannonballs of hailstones and demolish the whole army of Sisera. Verse 21. And the river Kishon swept them away. The ancient river, the river Kishon. Oh, my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hooves broken by the means of the prancings of the mighty ones. Amen. When God comes to the aid of his people, who can escape? We have a wonderful God, an almighty God, the God of all resource, the God of all power. So on that day, a great victory was won in the name of the Lord, and the whole army was demolished. Now, turn back and think of this Sisera. He thought, now this person I'm going to is an ally. Heber and Jael, they are our friends. Surely that is the place I go to take a rest and escape from the pursuing army of Barak. He went out and there met Jael. God sent Jael. Do you believe that? Yes. So that without drawing a sword only with a simple nail, just as David killed Goliath with a pebble, with a stone, God sent Jael to kill the general with a nail and hammer, and that was an easy job because the man was fast asleep. Dear friends, God give us good sleep and safe sleep every night. Only the Lord can give us safe sleep, but God sent this man there to the sleep of death. Go there, he says. The Lord sent him. You must go there. And there you will have good sleep. A sleep of death. And that was the finish of it. Now, how shall we end this morning's message? Please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The wisest king, Solomon, speaks to us. Ecclesiastes 9:11. It says here, I turned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. This is speaking at the level of common observation. You follow? Common observation says, time and chance are factors that come in and turn the course of events. The race is not to the swift under the sun. You see, the runners are all dashing towards the winning post, right? With a line there. All of them dashing, and there is one leading in the front. Almost certain to win, within 10 meters, about to win. Suddenly, trips and falls down, and the number two person gets in. Number one has lost. You see that oftentimes in athletics, don't you? What happened? Well, from common observation, well, bad luck, chance, and time, you lost. The next thing observed by Solomon is this. The battle is not to the strong. You have 100,000 and they have only 10,000. Surely you will win. You have tanks. But again, common observation. If there had been an observer, if there had been somebody from Reuters covering that battle, well, on that day, it chanced that there was a heavy downpour and the hailstones and the earthquake. All these are brought in by chance. And therefore, Sisera lost his battle and Barak won by chance. These are superficial observations, dear friends. What is Solomon driving at? There is a hand behind every event in life. God's unseen hand is working behind the scenes. For those who put their trust in Him, He is a mighty factor and force for good for you. When you put your trust in Him, the battle is to you, even though you may not be strong, but God is your strength. Do you have Him as your strength? For promotion cometh neither from the east, now from the west, says the father of Solomon, David. Promotion and success cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but from the north. What do you mean? North is the dwelling place of God, the far north. There is our help. God comes to our help. Promotion comes not from east or west or south, but God. He is the one who sets one up and puts down another, gives you the victory in our life. Of course, we do not go to battle today. But I say every day there is a battle. Every day. In your living, in your daily life, in your going out, your coming in your studies, in your career, in all that we do, as it were, there is a battle going on. Where is your trust? Where is your help? Where is your confidence? Remember Deborah and the story of today. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and He will grant thee the success that you long for, if you put your trust in the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, Thou who art our Savior and Redeemer, Thou art also the one who fights for Israel, and the one who fights for all those who put their trust in Thee. Lord, this morning may we remember the story of Barak and Deborah. how thou didst use two women, even the wife of an unknown person, to kill the great and mighty general, and Deborah to be a great heroine in the day of trouble. Lord, raise up from amongst us women of valor, women of faith, to be wives and to be great leaders in the home, that we may see great things done because the Lord is with us. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.